We're back. This is episode 4 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. This is C4.
Wolf.
And we got a special guest on the phone.
This is Ode.
Ode Rainwalker's in the house. And the last minute, we just got a hold of him on the phone, thank God. Hooks is down in Las Vegas today after we chased him around all day in town, calling him, trying to figure out where the hell he was. Okay. Turns out he was down in Las Vegas, so he's not going to be doing the show. And Hunter's asleep. Let's get into the news here. A lot of people saw this. I haven't downloaded it yet, but Rockstar has released Grand Theft Auto 1 as a free game now. They retooled it so it works on the newer PCs of today, you know, so it doesn't run like 1,000 miles an hour.
Kick-ass.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just a 2D game, though. A lot of people are going to play the Grand Theft Auto 3. They're going to roll back to Grand Theft Auto 1 and go, yeah.
They're going to see why it wasn't so successful, but it's still, I mean, it aids the community. You know, I mean, look at John Carmack, everybody's hero from id Software, who's, you know, doing a lot for everybody by releasing, you know, the code to his old games, Doom and Quake 1 and 2 and, you know, 3 one of these days.
Yeah, you can actually, you can under the GPL, you can create a game, and you can use Quake 2 Engine for your video game, and it's free. As long as you release the source code. And if you don't want to release the source code, it's a flat fee of $10,000 to use it for your video game.
$10,000?
Yep.
Christ.
How much do they charge for the licenses on those?
Quake 1 and Quake 2 are the same price. It's $10,000 each. It's free if you release the source code. And Quake 3, it's 5% of your royalties with a $250,000 guarantee. And those, well, you know, basically what we're talking about, for those of you that don't know, a lot of the first-person shooters out there, you know, it takes a lot to make a game, and they basically cut out 90% of the programming by doing it for you. And it comes in what we call an engine, and in this case, it's like 3D first-person shooter engine. So if you bought a game like Half-Life uses the Quake 2 engine. When the guys at Valve made Half-Life, they just licensed the engine so that they could release the game in a year instead of 5 years after sitting there and having to develop an engine of their own. But in exchange for that, they gave 5% of the royalties with a $250,000 guarantee to ID Software at the time, or ID Software.
Ooh.
And they made a killer product, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Half-Life was great. It started a genre, though. Like, way back before Half-Life, you play a first-person shooter, and, you know, it was all about just running around killing people. Half-Life had, well, okay, now we got a mission now. You know, you're going to go through this linear fashion, you're going to get to the end of the game, and, you know, you're going to have a good time. Oh, yeah, and you're going to have to reload all your guns on the way.
Yeah, there's something new, too. You can't just carry around, you know,
yeah.
5,000 rounds for your chain gun and never worry about reloading. Yeah, I don't know if you ever look on the forums, they talk about, you know, how the Half-Life engine is going to live forever, you know, at this rate with all the mods and stuff they've got.
I don't know.
For Half-Life. Let's see, what else have we got? We've got, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which I thought was a fantastic game. I know, Ode, you played that online for quite a while, and were even involved in a clan for a bit. They canceled the, expansion pack, Enemy Territory.
I'm still pretty sore about that topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody I know would have liked to have seen that one. I guess they had, they say that it was development problems with the single-player aspect of the expansion pack. But the good news is this, is the multiplayer part is going to be a free download now.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that makes up for it, I think. You know, I mean, it seems like by now, I mean, once your game gets old, not a whole lot of people go back and play the single player part of your game anyway, and most of your time is spent online anyway.
Yeah, once you beat a game, and I don't think you will try again, especially the first-person shooters.
Yeah, first-person shooters are pretty slim on story, usually.
No, that's good. I mean, as much as I enjoyed the first-person aspect of Return to Castle Wolfenstein, I would say that it occupied less than 1% of the time I put into that game. So, you know, if they're going to give us a free download for the other 99%, I think that's fair.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as far as I was concerned, I bought that game based on playing the single player solely. And, you know, the multiplayer to me was just a free bonus to me because I didn't really care. And I played it for just a little bit online. I didn't like it a whole lot because it seemed like it was kind of light. You know, there was only so many weapons, I mean, as there were in the game, but it played out just fine in the game, but there was so few maps. And hopefully this will make up for it, having a whole bunch of new maps and stuff for free.
Definitely.
And something you guys, I guess this is news to you, because you both seem kind of surprised when I just told you a second ago. ATI's CEO is being investigated for insider trading right now. He sold 240,900 shares for $4.6 million just before they announced a profit warning. And which, after the profit warning was out, the stock would have only been worth $2.2 million. He traded it in his wife's name.
That sounds illegal.
Yeah, that sounds illegal.
Damn, he's asked you to go to jail for that shit.
Him and Martha Stewart.
Him and Martha Stewart. Fuck Martha Stewart.
Fuck Martha Stewart.
That's right. But, I mean, that doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence with, you know, me and ATI.
No kidding. I never liked ATI anyway. I mean, it sucks to make the best video card, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, now, however,
the new ones.
The new one, the 9800 Pro, I mean, as it is, the 9700 Pro is, you know, on par with the GeForce FX. NVIDIA's got to get their asses in gear.
Yeah, they've been slacking ever since the GeForce 3. The GeForce 3 killed 3DFX when it came out, you know? And... you know, now it seems like after that, all their engineers just took a break, went to Hawaii or something, and they just haven't come back.
It's probably because they hired 3DFX as engineers.
Made so much fucking money off me.
Off everybody that buys those high-end cards.
Jesus Christ. Not even funny. $300-$400 for a
card. That's exactly why I don't feel bad running out and spending $200 on a PlayStation or $200 on an Xbox and getting something that I know is going to play the best games it can play for the next couple of years.
At least.
Well, there's something to be said for that, yes.
You know, there definitely is. There definitely is. How long ago did we see, I guess 6 months probably, we just went out and bought $400 video cards from NVIDIA. 6 months now, they're obsolete again. You know, I can't run Unreal 2 worth a damn. I can't run Unreal Tournament 2003 worth a damn. They need to bring these prices a little bit down for the guys that, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem spending that much money, but every 6 months it's just a little hard to come up with it.
You should have seen Astron. It's called too tanking on my system. My GeForce 3 and a gigabyte of RAM. You think I could run it?
You'd think.
Damn, we're going to get a daytime job now.
Yeah. Two jobs to support our habit, but then you wouldn't have any time. Oh, hey, did anybody watch that thing on MTV about the true life, about the gamers?
No.
Fuck! Damn it. I guess I forgot all about this. MTV had some kind of, they called True Life. You know how they had the True Life, I Am a Hacker?
I'm
thinking the real world with a bunch of guys sitting around yelling at each other.
Yeah, it's pretty much fucking bullshit. They had like the world champion Pac-Man player on there. They had like, they showed their living room. And I was kind of reading it on the forums at the time. They were talking about how the guys, I mean, I guess, you know, that's all they did was sit around and play games all day. I mean, which is, you know, I mean, I have no problem. I think it's fantastic. But that, I guess they said it was, I don't know, some of the guys were really strange. Like, on the forums, they were really bagging on the guys. They were like, oh, this guy's got a fucking gambling problem. This guy's an alcoholic. I don't know. I really would have liked to see the show. Maybe we can find it on some kind of peer-to-peer thing here and watch it.
Well, yeah, but those forums bag on everybody.
I know.
At the same time, you think MTV, you know, MTV... when they release any reality show, they're not just going to release it on, you know, with moderation. They're not going to say, okay, this guy, he gambles sometimes, you know. He's done some bad things in his life, but nothing too serious, nothing greater than anything else anyone else has ever done. They're not going to say that because it's not interesting. Nobody wants to watch that. They're going to watch, oh, hey, check it out. This guy, he's a gamer, but all gamers have gambling problems, so we're going to have some sort of big social issue, so we're going to, like, portray these people as having big social issues.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't watch TV, so I get most of this out of the forums and stuff and how I found out about this crap that's on TV. They did a hacker one earlier that I heard was just, it was horrible. You know, they made it just like a, like exactly like that. You know, they portrayed all hackers in a certain way and how everything is so, you know, elite and hardcore and everything. And I guess they made some big deal about some kind of disc with something on it. And it was pretty weak from what I heard. I really would have liked to have seen it, though, just to laugh along with everybody else.
Well, it's all about just having good viewers. You know, you get people, the average person has no idea what a hacker really does. You know, sit there and stare at hex dump files. A lot of it's not that glamorous, you know.
They get most of what they get off of TV.
Come on, what do you expect? MTV, they do music stuff. What do they know about computing?
Dude, they don't even know shit about music anymore, from what I can tell.
I mean, all these situations and all these reality shows, they just take the characters and they try to bring out one trait, just to basically iconify a character as having nothing more than one stereotype attached to them. Mm-hmm. And then they try to make it like that character's just so extreme. And that is, you know, and if the person does anything that's outside of that, they don't show it on the show.
You know, yeah, I'm sure they cut out a lot.
Brand these people into roles, and that's just how they do their how they put their shows together.
And unfortunately, all media is like that these days. Look at, I mean, even Fox News and CNN and whatnot. They're, you know, you get the same story from different news outlets, post-whoring, like on a forum.
Come on, people need a job on there. People live my life.
I guess get people to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about to them is the ratings, but it's like, something I really wanted to talk about was our magazines, video game magazines. I have subscriptions to just about every video game magazine under the sun, and I noticed that in three or four of the magazines, you will see the exact same screenshot and almost word for word the same little blurbs. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, you know, they cast every game in a certain light. Look at Getaway.
I went out and bought it just because everyone said it was the next Grand Theft Auto.
Well, you didn't read any reviews on it?
No, but I heard a bunch of people talk about it. I think I read one review on it that gave it like 5 out of 5 stars, you know, like top review, 100% best game out there, you know. I wanted to have my children, that kind of review.
Yeah, yeah. I remember calling you and telling you about it because it was on the front page of official U.S. PlayStation Magazine that month and telling you how great they made it sound. But it seems like they're making most games sound so great, and they're not.
I can't even sell it on eBay.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Most of these magazines are all coming from the same place anyway. Imagine Media? Yeah. Well, now they're, what are they called? Future Network USA? Some kind of bullshit like that? Like, they own, like, all the magazines. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
And it's the same writer, too. You know, it's the same dude.
It's probably all, yeah, it is probably all the same guy. I noticed they got Jeff Green in, what is that one? Is that PC Game? Or no, GMR, the new one from Electronics Boutique. They got Jeff Green doing, like, a little side column. He's the editor now for Computer Gaming World, which I think is the best magazine out there. It's computer games only, though, unfortunately. But my whole point of this little rant...
Basically, they're talking up these games, and what you know, all the magazines talk up the same games. They talk it up based on what they think people will think of the game, not what they actually think of the game.
Hey, let me tell you what's going on. Probably one stoner, after a fat joint, read a review, and said, oh, okay. Let's get to next. Is a rumor or something work for next different magazine or something like that? Just post exactly the same one. Without your words change. Probably that's what's going on.
Could be. I mean, they're just sucking us for our money. You know?
Yeah.
They suck us out of our money, and we get end up with a screwed up game.
It's messed up. I mean, half the time I think these game companies are just giving bribes or paying money to these reviewers just to get a good review out of it.
It sure seems like that. It sure seems like that, which is why we're doing this. You know, alternative media. Everybody can't get their news from IGN.com. You know, that's Imagine Games. They run our magazines. They got the biggest website out there for games. You go there for the videos and for the screenshots and whatnot, but then you buy their magazines also. You pay them for a yearly subscription to their website. You buy their magazines every month. I've got subscriptions to probably every magazine they produce, it seems like. And it's crap. It seems like it's all the same stuff. You know, I got to get my news somewhere, unfortunately. I can't just, you know, I can't be the guy who goes out to id Software and preview Doom 3, you know, and talk about it on a radio show, you know.
Oh, IGN bitch.
You know what? I think the best way to do it is this year I'm going to E3. There's no advantage or bless. I'm going to E3 this year, and I'm going to see all these games firsthand. They're gonna
see them yourself, exactly. Base your opinion on what you see. You know, on fact, in front of your eyes. I gotta get down to one of these shows, too. That would be so great.
You can crash my place.
It's not that far from here. Vegas? $100 round trip?
Yeah, it's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. I gotta get down there to see some of this stuff, you know. I mean, it would make, you know, it would be good for the show, too, you know, to bring an alternative media to the masses out there, you know, the gamers, and talk about something that's maybe a little bit different. And, you know, we don't always agree with what, you know, the magazines say, of course. All right, let's see.
Like Getaway. It got great reviews initially, and then the reviews started tapering off afterwards. I mean, give me a break. Did they play the game or not?
Well, all the previews looked really good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it hits the shelves. Everybody runs out and buys it. And it sucks. And then you see the reviews, you know, I mean, like when actual reviews come out, not the previews. You know, it's not such a great game anymore.
From the company, kind of big fat chick, those previewers.
Could be.
They already sold their quota, you know.
Since I've been good, I bought our games. Here's 100 grand.
Yeah. We'll advertise in your magazine. I don't know if you guys have noticed also the amount of advertising in some of these magazines. It's half ads now.
Yeah, in the game, on the wall and stuff. BlahBlah.com.
Has anybody looked into StarCraft Ghost?
No, I haven't.
100 screenshots of it. It looks incredible.
It looks amazing, doesn't it? I guess it's supposed to be out by December. We all know that Blizzard is notorious for pushing back their release dates, though. But that's okay, because they bring us fucking quality games.
I don't know about a quality.
What do you mean
think about Diablo 2?
Think about it. You played the shit out of Diablo 2, and then the expansion.
I was bored.
Bored. Yeah, right. And we all...
But
I
they use exactly the same engine as Diablo 1 looks like. It's not that much improvement at all.
It was still a lot of fun for the time.
Just
still...
different map. I mean, why don't they come out with an expansion pack?
Well, yeah. We all bought it, right?
Yeah, well, because the advertising is so good, that's why we bought it.
See, you got to look into more alternative media.
C4 and Hunter were at my house sitting there playing it for like 4 or 5 hours straight.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Before work, trying to squeeze in a couple hours, playing it at work. It was, you know, it was fun for a little while, but I think with Warcraft 3 they did a great job. It beats the crap out of Generals.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't played Generals, but as far as being a kick-ass game, I have the last probably 6 or 7 months of my life have just been spent in Warcraft 3.
That's right. Actually, since we're talking about Warcraft, somehow, you want to talk a little bit about the Frozen Throne?
Oh, yeah. I did not get in the beta.
yeah, we all tried.
They've let 10,000 people, well, actually, they've let 20,000 people into it, but there is another way you can get in and you can play it. It's through a third-party system. With this rocket science to figure out, but if you do manage to get it working, you can get on Warforged and you can play on there. They have a searching, the game search thing, just like Warcraft, you know, just like, you know, Battle.net does, to help you find people to play with and partners to meet up. It doesn't do a level system, which kind of sucks because you're going to either, you know, you don't know if you're going to get stuck with Kaiser Soze, if you're going to get stuck with, you know, somebody's grandma, but it's a way you can get on and play it. They've added a whole bunch of new tile sets to make, you know, that make the game look better. And they added one hero to every race and a couple of new units to every race. But then they dramatically changed the game in other ways. They lowered the amount of cash you got from killing Kreeves. There are these NPC characters on the map you could kill, and you get experience, and you get items, and you get cash for killing them. And they dramatically lowered the amount of cash you got. And they did this to force people to have to expand more. So it changed the dynamics of the game right there. But they also made all the units cheaper, so you can mass units quicker and early in the game, and later on it tapers off a little because you're not as rich. All in all, it's a lot of fun. I think they did a good job with the expansion so far. It's not balanced yet, but they're working on that. It's still in beta. It's going to be released this summer.
It still seems like it's pretty early beta, too. I mean, they don't even have the AI code in there yet.
Yeah, they don't even have the Brewmaster done yet. They have neutral heroes too now. The big thing about Warcraft 3 was heroes. You could go off and you'd have like one unit or two units or three units in your army that were special. They were not like the other units. For those people that play Command & Conquer, imagine if you had just one unit that was different from all the other units, and he or she has special abilities. And that would be your hero in the game, and that hero would gain levels, be able to carry items, and would get tougher as the game progressed, and it would all start kind of humble beginnings.
That's where they added the role-playing elements to the game that a lot of people are bitching about on the forums, is they don't like having to deal, you know, with a role-playing aspect in their strategy games. I, for one, think it made Warcraft 3.
I think it's incredible. I've tried to go back to StarCraft to check it out, and I have to say, it's almost slow in comparison.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
With the role-playing aspect, you know, you're trying to divide your time between, you know, going off and killing creeps and leveling up your guy and making him into something badass. At the same time, building up your town, doing your own little SimCity, you know, thing going on. And then watching out for the enemy coming in. It pretty much occupies 100% of your brain power and your time. While StarCraft, you spend a lot of time just sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, while keeping the tight controls, you can still manage to pull all that stuff off, too. That's the best part about it. They've got such tight controls now. And in the beta for Frozen Throne, the controllers, I mean, they've improved them even more. And they've added, you know, just a little bit here and a little bit there that makes it much easier to run your little war party. You know, with, what was the big thing I was telling you the other day that I liked so much? Oh, you can queue upgrades.
Yeah, you go to queue buildings. You can tell a peasant to make 5 farms in a row and he'll do it.
Oh, nice. I didn't notice that. I really haven't had a chance to check it out too much. Now, mind you, none of us got in the beta, and we're not advocating piracy here at all. Yeah, you know, but had you the time and resource to, you could probably come across it somewhere and might get to look at this Warforged stuff, which is pretty cool. I can't believe Blizzard hasn't shut these guys down yet.
I was actually on earlier, and they were changing the IP address. While we were on, they said, yeah, it won't hurt, it won't affect any of you guys. We're just letting you know there's going to be about a moment of interruption while we switch IP addresses.
Jesus. They're running a pretty slick operation here, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think it's Secret Service. You know, they got some guys, some guys dropping on helicopters and, you know, switching disks and, you know,
this is insane. You know? I can't believe that. I mean, talk about a bitch slap to Blizzard.
Go, Warforge.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty cool, but talk about risking your ass for nothing, you know, the unwashed masses out there, they're not giving you anything except for tying up your bandwidth.
The truth is, they're not really hurting Blizzard at this point, because Blizzard is not selling the expansion. It's not for sale yet, it's in beta.
Yeah, it's
the only
not
way you can get it is by pure luck, or you'd be one of those people that entered like 30 times and you're only supposed to enter once. Or you could buy a beta account on eBay for $125.
They're selling him on eBay?
Yeah, some guy was selling him. I don't know if it's even legit. I mean, you could buy it, and the guy could just take your money and walk away.
Yeah, probably is.
That would piss me off.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not saying that it's hurting Blizzard. I'm just saying, you know, it is illegal.
It's kind of an advertisement for them, though. Think about it. How fat a beta is, you know, when the real version comes out, people will go crazy.
Yeah, if they like it, yeah. But, you know, but it might hurt them, too, if they don't like when they're playing the beta, because, you know, the beta is not a finished product. It's not, sometimes, in some cases, it's not anything like the final product, and, you know, and people will play the beta and say, oh my god, this game fucking sucks, I'm not going to go buy this now. So, you know, there's the other side of the coin.
Supposedly, in the beta for Warcraft 3, the Priestess of the Moon was on a flying bird.
The beta for what?
The Priestess of the Moon, you know, the hero for the Night Elf.
Oh, yeah.
She was on a flying bird instead of the big old cougar or whatever she rides.
Yeah, the tiger?
Tiger.
Yeah.
She rides this badass white and black striped tiger. About.
Yeah, it's awesome. I actually like that character a lot because Starfall owns.
I usually use her, too.
You should see Big Bad Voodoo.
Wolf and I have been playing a lot of Xenosaga lately.
Great game. Great movies.
Yeah.
Worth every single minute of watching it.
It is. That's the thing. I mean, we've probably played, you know, for like, well, quite a while now, and it seems like it's mostly movies. We're playing kind of like side by side. I brought a TV over here in my PlayStation. We just kind of camped out, and we're right at the same spot and watched all the movies, and my PlayStation's faster than his.
Wow.
It gains a quarter of a second on him every time it loads a movie. I can't explain it. It's weird.
I can't make a sticker for you, baby.
Yeah. My PlayStation is faster than yours.
Well, it's newer, right?
It's the same model number, though. We checked everything out. All the driver versions are the same. I can't explain it. It's weird, but, I mean, who cares? But I know you don't have this yet, but we just started it a couple of days ago and played the shit out of it since then. I'll tell you what. I saw the review sites on this. You know, I mean, of course, in the magazines and whatnot, they gave it, they're saying between, you know, like, it's either a 7 or an 8. Those are the scores they're giving it. And so far, I don't see why this game isn't a perfect 10, to tell you the truth. I mean, if you really don't like watching movies, which is me, okay, I can't stand it. I'm the first one to go out and bitch about Final Fantasy's movies, you know, especially Final Fantasy. But the way they do it, and the story is so good in this game. It's just, I mean, I was hooked. The minute I was freaked out in the first 2 hours I was playing this game. It was kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah. When that girl, that little blonde girl, show up from nowhere, someone's watching you.
Yeah, we don't want to jump in the middle of the story. Let's just tell, okay. What are
you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody out there has any idea.
Okay.
Well, it opens up, and it's like the year 2000-something. There's like an archaeological dig site, and they find it, if you've seen Stargate, you know what I'm talking about. Like, they find this big thing out there and they dig it up, and whoever the lead guy is, who the fuck is that? What do they call him?
Some doctor.
Is he? He's not important to the story, so
fuck it. Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it reminded me of that. But okay, so he has like this little pendant or talisman kind of thing. He puts it in the middle of this thing, and all kinds of shit happens. There's like this big earthquake. Like what looks like a gigantic star, some kind of spaceship comes out of the sea. There's the little lake right next to him and stuff. So it kind of sets the mood that they found something in the year 2000, whatever. It doesn't have a year. They found something, some kind of alien technology or something, or something from the future or whatever, and it really kind of leaves it open-ended. Then it jumps ahead 4,000 years in the future, and it shows this gigantic golden coffin-shaped thing floating in space. Battleship captures this thing. It's some kind of an artifact, okay? And I guess you can't touch it. People who are touching it are disappearing, so they've got a really mysterious story behind this thing. They pull it into the ship, and it's kind of manned by these, like, robot things, you know, and it's held together on some kind of, you know, fugitive hover suspension thing. And it opens up, and you're playing this character, Shion, who's she's like the lead researcher in the R&D here. And they're creating this thing called Cosmos. It's like a battle android to fight the Gnosis, which are like the bad guy alien race, right? Who have the ability to teleport through walls and appear and materialize wherever they want to.
Or like Shadow Captain X-Men.
Yeah. Just like that. You know, it's pretty badass. I guess the thing of it is, though, is they can fight from, like, a different plane of existence. And so, like, you know, humans with their guns and bullets and whatnot are pretty much useless against them. So they've got this battle android, Cosmos. And I guess they've been in testing with her in... It's like the Matrix. They have this place, I can't remember the name of the thing now. They had a name for it, Encephalon or something. It's basically the Matrix. And they put the Shion, your character, under, and she goes in with this Cosmos person into like these virtual places. I mean, it's exactly like the Matrix. And they run tests and whatnot, and they, you know, configure her for battle. And while the people outside at the research and development place, you know, like in the offices there, in the lab, control the environment and what's going on. So it opens up, you know, and you're kind of, I mean, you're watching movies for this whole time. You don't do anything for, I swear to God, like half an hour. And you're put in the first level, and it's just kind of like a training exercise, like a run-through, right? You know, just go from point A to point B, and it's more of like training for the game. You know, they teach you the controls and stuff while you're trying to run through this old training thing. Well, you get to the end of this first level, you're fighting this big mech thing, you know, and your character, Shion, she wants to keep pushing it. You know, she has a real bond with Cosmos. You know, it's almost, she feels like her daughter or something. I mean, she has a bond with it. I mean, you're creating an android who looks human-like. And she wants to push it to the next level. So she overrides the guy who's controlling the scenario from outside in the lab and pushes things a little bit further, you know, takes it up a couple levels. And outside in the research laboratory, they're trying to, you know, save her because all the warning lights are going off and something's bad going to happen. And, you know, they drop a little hint that something bad happened. I mean, it really pulls you into the game. They're telling you that, oh, this is just like the incident 15 years ago. And, you know, oh, my God, you know, do you remember what happened? We can't let that happen again. And she's like, you know, the girl you're controlling there, Shion, you know, she says, oh, you know, things are fine. So you fight this mech. You win the battle. And the guys in the lab are trying to break in and into, like, you know, Encephalon here, into this Matrix thing, and pull you out and save you before something bad happens. Just as you're being pulled out, your character looks back, and in the mech, there's, like, the ghostly outline of this little girl staring at her. And it's kind of freaky because she's not part of this program. You know, and this game is supposed to talk a lot about, you know, God and consciousness and you know, lots of deep stuff here, which is why you gotta pay attention to the story. Wolf here looks up cheat codes in the first 10 minutes and thank God can't find them.
By the way, for those of you that the story wasn't enough, I got three words that'll make you want to buy this game. Hot, anime, chick.
That's right. That's all you need to know right there.
For those that got lost on the story, that's all you need to know.
I'm tired of me rambling on, just know it's got hot anime chicks in it. It's
worth it. That good penny shots.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome, even though, I mean, they pulled one scene out from the Japanese version, which doesn't mean shit anyway, because the story stayed the same, so we're not too worried about it.
Oh, was the scene a good scene?
There's a character that's an android character, Momo, who, like, I saw screenshots of the scene they pulled, and there's this mercenary guy who You know what? If I tell this story, I'm gonna blow some stuff for some people. If you haven't played it yet and got that far, I'm gonna blow it for you. So I'm not gonna spoil it. But they pulled a scene that was like a little bit too explicit with a child in it.
Oh.
It's not like it was a bad, nasty, sexual, weird Japanese tentacle fetish thing.
It wasn't. You see a lot of that, don't you?
They use sushis.
Oh yeah, that's probably where it came from.
The scene wasn't like that at all. It has nothing to do with it. But I just don't want to blow the story for the game if I tell what the scene did. So
supposedly in Japan,
you can look it up on the internet.
It's a big thing that they go and they eat sushi off the naked bodies of women that will that are trained to like lay there really still while they're getting eaten off of.
Hey, hang tight. I'm gonna go get a plane ticket real quick. I'll be right back.
Now, I'm trying to think about that whole octopus thing and the whole tentacle thing, and I don't know. It's all coming together right there.
Huh. Yeah. That's kind of strange. Anyway, so they pull you out of this Matrix-like world, and your character's kind of tripping on this little girl she saw. And to progress the story, you get like an email or something, and they tell you you've got to take your data and go to the bridge to go talk to the commander, right? So now you're kind of free roaming around the spaceship.
Huge, man.
It's pretty big too. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you can walk all over the place. The problem is that it took me an hour to walk from the research laboratory to the bridge because they try to like cram you with information about how to play the game. Which is cool because there's a lot going on, you know, and a lot of stuff I didn't catch until later. I mean, the battle system is pretty awesome. It's not as good as Grandia 2, but it's better on a different level than Grandia 2. I think if we could get a hybrid of those two, it'd be really awesome. You know, role-playing games, I have a hard time with their battle system because they're just not live enough. They're not action-packed enough. I mean, it's, you know...
Is it turn-based?
Well, yeah, it's turn-based, but if you do turn-based right, turn-based, you know, it comes out great, like Grandia 2. This comes off like a 1980s... role-playing game, which is fine because they have a lot of things to make up for it. The tech attacks, the ether attacks.
The combo attacks.
You've got all kinds of cool stuff to do. It's really awesome, the battle system. So as you're walking across the ship, right, on your way to the bridge, at one point you come across that big golden coffin-shaped artifact thing, whatever it is, and you stop and half of this is movie, so don't take it like you're playing, okay? Most of this is movie. You walk up to it and you like space out. Your chick starts tripping. Okay, so your chick starts tripping and she like gets taken out into some little magical world kind of thing. You know what I mean? She's staring at this golden artifact thing and kind of looking at it. The screen takes you out to like another movie sequence, right out of one movie sequence into another. I mean, it does not give you a break, but at least you can pause it and or skip them if you want, which is really cool. I noticed with Final Fantasy you can't do that.
You don't want to, though. You don't want to skip them.
That doesn't stop you from skipping them.
Because you already played.
You weren't watching.
Trying to catch you up.
But you really want to watch it. You really want to watch it. I mean, the story of this game is fucking incredible, which is why I think it's such a good game. You know, the lost art of storytelling in games. You know, now we have a bunch of crap like Quake 3. So, okay, you're out on this field. It turns black and white, even. I mean, it's really good effect. And, you know, there's trees and grass and, like, a little lake, and you're not on the ship anymore. And you see that big artifact right up ahead of you, up a small little incline, and it looks like it's stuck in the ground, and that little girl is standing in front of it. And you see her, she turns around and walks into the thing. It disappears. You walk up to it, you know, you're kind of, like, mystified about what's going on here. You touch the thing. It's like liquid, man. And then, bam, you're pulled out of it. And you're back on the ship, you know, getting yelled at by some kind of drill instructor guy. That guy's pretty funny. You make it up to the ship. Am I going to talk this whole time, or are you going to...
You're doing a good job, man.
No, I'm getting fucking thirsty here talking so much.
I haven't played the game yet, so I can't chime in on this one.
Yeah, I know. I've been drinking.
Oh. You're doing a good job, man.
So you continue walking through the ship there, and... It turns out you left the data that you were supposed to bring to the bridge back at the research lab. Well, the guy who's like second in command of the research lab, you know, he realizes you leave it there. So he grabs it. I mean, again, this is all moving. I mean, I swear to God, you've had like 15 minutes of playing, and you're like an hour and a half into it now. The guy who's second in command of the research lab, he's totally in love with your character. And all the, it's just like most anime you're watching. It really is. Like the same, like, cheesy love storyline kind of thing. It's pretty cool, though. I mean, if you're a fan of it, you know. I liked it a lot. So he realizes you left your ship behind, and he starts running through the ship to bring it to you. When he runs into you, like right then, he gives you your stuff, and you gotta take off and go to the bridge. You kind of leave him behind. And again, your character looks back, and she sees this little girl, like, standing at the end of the doorway. And now it's kind of really freaking her out, right? So you get to the bridge, and she still hasn't said anything to anybody. But everybody can tell there's something up. And so you get your stuff to the bridge, you give it to the commander, the guy's kind of a dick, he's yelling at you why did it take so long to get this data, you haven't done any field tests on it yet. They're kind of afraid to bring this Cosmos android out, because they keep referring to this incident. The incident that happened, 12 years ago. We can't have another one of those. Then the commander of the ship comes out. He's a really nice guy. He understands, her problems. He tells her to take the rest of the day off. So you're back left to your own devices, walking through the spaceship. And you go to your room, your quarters. And she talks, she has a quick little dialogue with her brother on the phone. And there's something going on there where they don't see each other a whole lot. And he kind of misses her and whatnot. And then she's gonna lay down for the night and take a nap, go to sleep for a while. Well, she goes to sleep and she's laying there, and this is awesome. This is at the end of like an hour and a half, 2 hours of playing. And I'm sitting there at home in the dark, it's 8 o'clock at night, it's pitch black, I'm camped out at the house, and here I am watching this scene with this girl laying on her bed. She's asleep and she's having like a nightmare about this. She's seeing the girl up by this artifact thing again. There's somebody else there in the picture that you can't make out off to the side, who's just a silhouette. And the camera pulls back now, and you're looking at the girl in her room, Shion, and she's obviously having a nightmare, tossing and turning. She rolls over on her side, the camera kind of swings around, and that little girl, this little ghostly image of the girl standing right behind her, just staring over her, looking over her while she sleeps.
That's all you're gonna get.
That's all you're gonna get, because I don't want to blow anymore, but man, it is fucking awesome. I know I'm a shitty storyteller, but I hope somebody out there, maybe you're probably taking bong rips or something, and I did a good enough job to put you in, get you tripping on this. I mean, do you think it sounds interesting, Ode?
It makes it sound interesting. I just think of something like that, and I think, God, it'd make a great movie.
That's just it. I can't tell if I'm playing a bad game or watching a great movie.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, when you're in game mode, you're in game mode. I have to say, a lot of these games nowadays kind of spoiled me on that topic. It's not for me, story is almost, I like a good story in a game, especially for adventure games, which that sounds like a sort of like adventure slash RPG kind of game, but the gameplay really is where things matter.
Oh yeah, the gameplay is great. I assure you of that. I mean, it's great. The problem is there's just not that much of it right now. Anyway,
way too short. How long will we play? 11, 12 hours at least.
If they cut out all the video clips, like, I mean, you obviously don't know yet because you haven't beat it, but
yeah,
how many like minutes of video of gameplay do you think there would be?
Check this out.
Less than half.
No, check this out.
Yesterday, one of the videos we watched?
We played for like 11, 12 hours at least yesterday. And the highest level guy we had is like level 8.
Yeah, the levels, it's kind of difficult to get levels.
If that's a level over 100 points of damage, we thought he was a man.
Yeah. but the thing of it is most of those, like I'd say out of that 12 hours yesterday, I swear to God, you actually played for like
30 minutes, most?
No. You played for way more than that. Think about how much we wandered around. You played for maybe, out of that?
2 hours, maybe.
No, we didn't watch no fucking 6 hours.
I didn't watch that much. Remember, I catch up to you 2 hours and 1 minute. I skip all the
videos. Yeah. Oh, yeah, huh.
See?
Well, like, how does the gameplay compare to, say, Dark Cloud?
I haven't played that. I played Dark Cloud 1 a little bit. I just to check it out, because I got it, and I'm kind of saving it for a little bit later. It's just like a traditional role-playing game, you've got your character, full stats and inventory, you want to buy like a million little healing potions, and it's all about your stats and stuff. The problem is, that's a good point. If we compare it hours to levels, right, like I said, our highest level guy is like level 8 or something, and we've been playing for like 12 hours, because most of that's not gameplay. One of the video segments that we've watched where it just cuts out was 40, almost 40 minutes. Yeah, I think it was
46 or something.
40, I think it was just shorter. I thought it was about 40 minutes.
We started at 110
and finished at like 150.
156.
Something.
156.
So it was about 40 minutes or so. Just one of these scenes was.
Hey, I think that's the longest one.
Now, I'm sure that's the longest one in the game. It's gotta be.
I think that's the longest one in gaming history.
I think it is too, but you know what? Yeah, but the point of it is
a record, That's like the guy that jumped on a pogo stick 5,000 times,
Yeah. It's awesome, though. I swear to God, it is such a good movie game. It is so good.
During that movie watching, they give you twice chance to save the game.
Yeah, you can save it. Break. Save it in the middle of the movies.
They let you save the game not just once, but twice.
Because yep. It's so friggin' long. But it's awesome.
Oh, man, I put up a comic strip about this.
Yeah, that's right, huh? Man, I really wanted to talk about that when we were talking about Warcraft 3 and the Frozen Throne. You have the funniest shit up there. That comic you had on, what was it, Friday, about getting Warforged to work for the Frozen Throne beta, that was awesome. Cyberslackers.net, that comic you had up there was hilarious.
Yeah, I got a lot of hits on that day. I think I had over 300 hits or something.
Just that day for that one comic, huh?
Yeah,
that's a funny one.
That was hilarious, by the way, dude. I wanted to tell you, that was awesome. But we got to stop talking about Xenoslayer, because I'm sure we're boring the shit out of most everybody out there now.
I think we've covered Xenoslayer.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though. I mean, it may have been a 36, 45-minute video clip, but they introduce all kinds of new characters and progress the story so much. And, I mean, you really care about the characters, which I was bitching about before. Oh, wait, maybe not on the show.
What they should have done for a game like that? I mean, okay, I'm gonna say right now, yeah, okay, if you like to see a 45-minute video clip, I haven't seen them yet, so they're probably great. But there might be somebody out there who just wants to keep playing, and he gets to a certain point, like, damn, I wanted to level some more. You
most
know?
Of these ADD, Twitch, trigger finger happy players out there.
Exactly, you know, I'll be sitting there, my leg will start shaking, I'll start fidgeting, next thing you know, the whole, like, house will start shaking, you know, I just wanna play.
No, but you have to watch the video to follow the story.
It should have a recap thing where you can hit start and go, okay, skip, but give me the recap, and then just gives you like a page.
That would be nice. See, I was thinking about that too. Maybe have like a short little bit that you could read if you wanted to skip it because you're losing the story. But you got to figure, like, you know, when you're in action game mode, you want to play action games. You're wanting to play Tactical Ops or Quake 3 or whatever the hell it is that, you know, you want to play, and that's how it is. You don't care about anything but shooting and, you know, or coming back to life and killing people. When you're in role-playing game mode, I have no problem sitting down and watching a good clip. The problem is I didn't like the way Final Fantasy's been setting up their game for the last couple of years. So, I don't know. We have to move on because I'm really screwing this up now. I've been looking at Deus Ex, the new one. What's it called? Invisible War? Yep, something I know you can't wait for. It's supposed to be released in late June, so the wait is almost over, but we'll see if it gets delayed again.
I have been waiting for that game for so long.
I know, because you were a big fan of the first one. Let me tell you what I know about Invisible War. It's gonna, you know, it continues the tradition with multiple endings. I guess they did they're using the Unreal Engine, but it's tweaked so much, it might as well not even have been Unreal Engine to begin with, from what I understand. They are taking a lot of pride in their audio and in their physics. I guess the audio is supposed to be outstanding. Let me tell you, I assure you right now, the graphics are top-notch. They are using probably the latest build, or what was just a little bit ago, of the Unreal Engine. And the graphics, all the screenshots we've seen, are outstanding. I guess the programmers are real happy with their physics engine. It's supposed to be fantastic. And just to show it off, some magazine I was reading was talking about what they did just to prove how great it was. They set up a couple of bottles, like glass beer bottles or something, at the end of a set of stairs. They put a tire at the top of it and rolled it down, and every time, the tire rolled different, and the bottles all reacted completely different.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment. You know, think about all the canned sequences and shit that we see nowadays.
Oh, no shit. It's all like pre-recorded.
Yeah, that's really cool. So hopefully, and I imagine they have all that ragdoll physics, you know, for the character models, like when you're killing enemies and shit, you know. I imagine they've done all that.
Say this. I have been so waiting for the the sequel to Deus Ex that at this point I almost don't want to hear it anymore.
Just come out with the game already.
Deus Ex is synonymous with vaporware for me, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the first game was awesome. I loved it so much that all I could think about was playing the second one. I wonder if they'll let you bring your character over. I wonder.
I don't think so, because I think this one's supposed to take place like 20 years after the first one.
Okay.
What else do they have? They've got, you know, they have it set up with the multiple endings again.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool. They've got three different factions you can align yourself with. And you get different benefits depending on who you decide to, like, align yourself with. Seeing as how I didn't play the first one, I'm the last person who can talk about this, but I guess that you could, like, choose sides or something in the first one?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you could do. The thing I liked the most about the first one is it was, like, for those that didn't play Deus Ex, it was not like any other first-person shooter you've ever played. You could totally define what your character was going to become. You know, you basically filled it up almost like an RPG, except you didn't gain levels. You put in like augments, and that was how it worked. And
okay,
was,
just so you know, they kept all that,
but it was all based on your augments. But the big thing about Deus Ex was the fact that the game did not end unless you died. If you failed a mission, it didn't say mission over, you got to restart. It would just go on, and the rest of the story would work around it. The whole story would change, you know. I would fail a mission where you're supposed to rescue somebody, and there'd be like a whole different level afterwards.
That is awesome. See, they kept that in Invisible War with the open-ended game, like where you could kind of do whatever the hell you wanted to do. They still have all those augments too. They decided to call them biomods though, I guess because it's legal now. I guess it wasn't legal in the first one. I don't know. I guess the story said, whatever I was reading said something about, like, they were, like, some kind of underground augmentation before. Now they're supposedly legal and sanctioned by the government or some shit. And depending on the faction who you align yourself with, you get, you know, access to their technology and whatnot. I assume somehow that changes your biomods, your augments. And they have, like, a black market system now, too, where you have, they're cheaper, you know, it's like, I guess, I don't know if they're different augmentations or the same, but they're cheaper and they're unstable and they have a negative side effect, which they haven't talked about very much. Almost like it's like an evil kind of thing to it though. If you're using a bunch of black market things.
Yeah, like it's not a good idea, you know?
Yeah, but it's pretty cool though, because I mean, they're cheap and your character might not have a whole shitload of money.
That sounds like a kick set. The first one, you could walk up to an ATM, hack in, and get $200 out of it. there was one scene where I was with my brother in the game, and I was really attached to him at that point. I mean, I had to say, you know, I was like, God, when he, and you know, we were in this hotel room, and these troops were coming up, and they're about to enter the hotel room, and I was on his comm link, and we heard them coming up, so like, he's like, dude, you got to get out of here, and I'll hold him off. So I said, all right. So I jumped out the window and I escaped, and he ended up dying. Well, I called up actually my brother who played the game, and he said, hey, you know, I said, yeah, I was actually really bummed when my brother died in the game. You know, I almost felt like crying. Yeah, and he says, well, you know, my brother did die.
See, that is awesome.
Yeah, I guess he stuck around and he kept his brother alive.
And the game was totally different, huh?
It was like later on, you end up dealing with your brother and like doing some other stuff going on, doing some other stuff with
him. That's cool. That is awesome.
I almost want to play it again just so I can keep alive.
That's fucking badass. They need to see. We need to have more of that stuff in there. More of that open-ended sandbox kind of game.
Well, other game RPGs should have that.
Yeah, a lot of the RPGs are way too linear. Almost all of them are. But at least, you know what? Like, it's supposed to tell a tale, and as long as they do it right, like I think Xenosaga does, you care about the characters, which I think is a big problem with a lot of American RPGs. Most of them, I don't care. I could, you know, when I played Baldur's Gate, all those Infinity Engine games, I didn't give a shit about my characters. It was just like, okay, well, if that guy dies, we just resurrect him. No big deal. You know? Like, when you know, whatever, you know. In the combat in some of these Japanese games, like, you feel so much for your characters. Like, man, I don't want to get them killed. You know, they're getting beat on in the battle, and you're like, hey, man, lay off her.
She's so cute. Leave her alone.
You know, she saved my ass or something. That's what I'm loving Xenos. Like, oh, and I picked up Dot Hack Infection today, too.
How is it?
I haven't played it. I bought it today. We just got back from Reno. I picked that up, and I'm going to start playing that probably after Xenosaga. But then I bought Dragon Quarter last week also, which I need to get into after all these. I got to play them one at a time, though. And we picked up Freelancer for Hunter. So hopefully next week he'll have some information for us on Freelancer.
Sounds like a plan.
Have you heard anything about Freelancer at all?
Nope, nothing. Nothing on it yet.
Okay, it's supposed to be some kind of space game where you can, like, pretty much do whatever you want. You could be, like, a pirate or work for, like, I don't know. You could kind of do whatever you want, but you're out in space, though. You know, you could be like, probably, it sounds like you could be like a bounty hunter or a pirate or fucking work for the government to do missions and stuff. I don't know. It sounds really cool. So Hunter was totally jazzed on that. It's brand new. It just came out a couple of days ago. It was only $35 at Best Buy, so he told us to pick it up.
Sounds like a single player Anarchy Online.
Yeah, huh? Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was pretty decent. You could ally with the government or the system, and you could become an agent for them.
Well, that's cool.
And you could be a diplomat and things like that. You could be a diplomat at the game, or you could be just like an agent going around killing people and things like that.
that was like its little claim to fame that made it a little bit more different than most of these online games, but I think they still all come back to the same crap, so still waiting for something a little bit different. How about Shadowbane?
I hate to say this, because you know how much for the last probably 6 months I've been sitting there reading all the sites on Shadowbane, just eagerly waiting for it. I've had that pre-order box sitting here collecting dust, because I just can't wait to play it, and it's going to be out next week, the 25th. So
hopefully,
exactly 7 days from now, they're having a release party up in LA for it. Anyone's invited who wants to go there. If you're into Shadowbane, you can go to the release party. It's on Warcry. I think they're talking about it.
Okay, now you pre-ordered it.
But anyway, I'm going to say don't get it yet. The reason I'm going to say that is it has some issues. Basically, for those of you that aren't familiar with what Shadowbane's about, it's not supposed to be like every other MMORPG out there. It's based on they figured that when people were really playing games like Dark Age of Camelot for the player versus player aspect, they weren't playing for the player versus environment aspect where you go around and just kill monsters and camp them all day. They were playing to go attack other cities and take forts. And so they tried to expand on that, and they've been developing this game for over 4 years. And you can, in the game, build a house, you can build a city, you can build a castle, you can start clans, you can start nations, you can swerve affiliations with nations, band them together. Literally, you could control the whole world.
You can sure as hell try.
I mean, you'd have to be one badass dude, but
it sounds like they got some cool races.
Theoretically, I mean, it's never going to happen, but you could control the whole world.
Yeah, it would be pretty neat to see it happen, though, but that's cool they give you that option, too. And, I mean, they got some cool races in that game, too, especially those dudes that can fly.
Oh, yeah, one of the races can fly. All the races are very, very different. Like, if you're an elven warrior versus if you're a human warrior, it's not the same. There's skills that you have access to as an elf that you don't have access to as a human, and vice versa. They have minotaurs, they have Erkoi, which are these flying guys. They're like flying men, and they can fly. They really can. You can float. You can fly over walls. You can fly up, shoot people with arrows from the sky. They have a whole bunch of different classes, and the classes all have base classes that combine together, but differently. Like, for example, you can be a rogue ranger or a fighter ranger, and it's not the same thing. You have different abilities, and you have different stats, and your stats go up differently, and it's not the same thing. And then beyond that, you can put on what's called disciplines into your character, and the disciplines will add something significant. Like, one of the disciplines is Black Mask, and a lot of the classes have access to this, and it gives you basically rogue abilities. You can sneak, and you can hide, and you can poison your blades. You can get focuses on items, on weapons, where, like, you focused on archery. You could get an ability where you could shoot somebody in the leg, and they'll limp, and they'll move really slow. The game is basically you could customize a character, and you probably would end up customizing a character, so it's not like anybody else's in the entire game. It's not like Dark Age of Camelot, where every ranger is exactly the same, where every thane is exactly the same.
Yeah, that really gets on my nerves. I got so tired of that, where everybody's the exact same. That's what I really liked about Shadowbane, is it sounded cool that, you know, I mean, there is a lot of uniqueness to your character right there. I mean, you know, which goes a long way for making you want to play more because, you know, your character is so unique. It doesn't become, oh, well, since I've got a ranger, he's going to be like this guy is, so I better play the shit out of this game to, you know, do the treadmill and level up.
Yeah, for example, when I was making one character, I got in the beta for Shadowbane. That's how I've been playing it. And I'm legitimately in the beta. I'm not hacking it like Warforged. I've been playing it, and I have to say my favorite thing right now is just make a character level up to 20, make another character level up to 20, just to make a different type of character and try it out. And even beyond that, you can customize it, because I'm not even touching disciplines yet, you know, for my characters, and the disciplines just go, I mean, you can make a barbarian, have spells, you can, it's crazy, but,
Well, that's something we'll have to keep an eye on, though, to see how it turns out after a couple patches.
Well, yeah, but let me explain why you wouldn't want to buy it right now.
Oh, I thought
all I've been talking about is how great it is.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But the thing is, it's got issues. Right now, the biggest issue is that it's connection issues, I'd say, with the engine, with how the client connects to the engine. Even when there's only 100 people logged in or 200 people logged in, it still feels like there's massive amounts of lag when it's really... You really do have a good connection. It's just that the system, you know, the messages aren't getting around correctly. There's a lot going on with an MMORPG to make it so the packets are small and so they can send them back and forth. And a lot of it happens on the client end. So you have what's called rubber banding, where you run forward, you run behind it, you run around a tree, and then suddenly you appear back behind the tree where you started. That's why you didn't move at all. And crazy shit will happen. Like, you'll be walking around, and suddenly a skeleton will appear next to you. And it's not because the skeleton snuck up to you. It's not because it respawned there. It's because the message in the system saying, hey, there's a skeleton next to you, never got to you until you were right next to it. So, and you think, well, that's no big deal. But no, it gets on your nerves. And after a while, I mean, you don't even want to play it anymore. You're sitting there just getting pissed off at the engine, saying, God, this freaking thing is not working right.
Now, on top of that, the graphics aren't so great either, are they?
Oh, the graphics are absolutely horrible.
And, but they look better than EverQuest.
And it will tap your system down. Just give you an idea. I don't get this. World of Warcraft, they say that, for those of you that haven't seen go check out, they have a gameplay movie on there. They said that they got those screenshots of the gameplay movie on a system that was equivalent to an 800 megahertz system with a GeForce 2.
And it runs fine?
It runs great.
Awesome.
It looks incredible, okay? World of Warcraft looks incredible. Shadowbane, on my badass system, which, well, okay, it's not that badass, but it's a lot better than 800 megahertz. And I have a GeForce 3, not a GeForce 2, barely runs Shadowbane.
Jesus Christ.
I barely, and the graphics suck. They're horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the Minotaurs look like tall guys with masks on.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is, unfortunately, they're flooding the market with these MMORPGs now. I was reading through PC Gamer. Check this out. They reviewed, well, they didn't review, but they listed out 181 upcoming games, okay? Like, you know, they didn't say too much about them, like maybe one line, two lines. The big games, like World of Warcraft, got like maybe a paragraph about them. And I went through the entire 181 games just to see how many of them were MMORPGs. 20 of them. 20 games were MMORPGs. They're trying to suck on the cash cow, aren't they?
Big money.
Yeah, it's big money, but what happens when we're flooded with you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the MMORPG?
Oh, my.
That's not a joke. That's coming out.
You serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking bullshit, huh? They got just all kinds of stuff. They got some that sound cool. EverQuest 2, that might be pretty good, but you know they're going to base that off the same gameplay as EverQuest 1, so I'm going to hate it.
I bet they're going to use the same engine, too.
Let's hope that we get EverQuest Radio from the guys who did CSR. Counter-Strike Radio, rest in peace. Oh, forgot, they took that off the air. They're done now. They've had enough.
You had enough?
Yeah. They're talking about doing a game show, which would be really cool, but I think...
How long were those guys on the air?
They were on the air for, like... Fuck, 2 years or so? Yeah. Probably more than that, I'm sure. They had tons of shows in there.
How much can you talk about Counter-Strike?
Well, when you love Counter-Strike, you can talk about it all day. I could talk about Final Fantasy VI every single day if anybody asked me about it.
And this one time?
This one time? In Final Fantasy VI camp? Yeah. the two MMORPGs I am excited about, though, no, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon isn't one of them. The Matrix Online they're doing, I don't care about that one. Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth Online, I don't care. It doesn't look that great. I mean, there's tons of them. There's 20 of them. The two that I'm really excited about are World of Warcraft, Lineage 2. Now, just to give you an idea of how big Lineage is, EverQuest has about 500,000 subscribers, okay? Lineage 1 has 4 million subscribers. It didn't take off in the U.S., probably because it was like UO style, Ultima Online, like kind of a 2D overhead view. Has anybody else seen any screenshots on this?
No, I saw a different one in China. Right now, a big game over there. It's called Arcane.
Arcane?
Arcane. A-R-C-A-N-E.
Arcane? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's an Asian game. Looks just like... I saw a screenshot. It looks just like freaking Diablo.
I didn't play Ultima Online. And from what I understand, everyone said it sucked.
I played it. It was horrible. I played it for a little bit. It was horrible.
But as far as the whole 2D view goes, I'd have to say that I would almost prefer it.
Yeah, compared to the crap we see in 3D.
Yeah, I mean, good, decent 2D is better than crap 3D.
Definitely, by far.
And World of Warcraft, obviously, you know, you'd only want that in 3D. And, you know, even Dark Age of Camelot looked great in 3D.
Yeah,
something like EverQuest could be a 2D game, and it would look great. Or Shadowbane. They should have just made it 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save some bandwidth.
Well, save your machine, your processor.
Your processor, your graphic.
It's like a damn glorified chat room anyway. It might as well be The Sims Online. But I'll tell you what, though, Lineage didn't take off over here very, it wasn't very big. Lineage is huge everywhere but in the United States, it seems like. But, and the reason it didn't take off here was because of the 2D graphics. And the screenshots I've seen for Lineage 2 are friggin' amazing. They are incredible. And I'm really dying to see if they do a good job on this, because I really hope that one takes off. It seems like it's got something special. I gotta check that out. But I can't believe we're gonna see 20 new MMORPGs here. It's quantity, not quality. Back to Sony's business in those, video games.
Sounds like those companies are desperate.
I would say the number one problem with MMORPGs nowadays is not so much, because honestly, I'd have to disagree. I don't think quantity's such a bad thing, because it gives you more variety, and at the same time, it gives you not so quite so massive worlds. I mean, honestly, I don't want 500,000 players playing with me. I wouldn't mind if I was playing on a game that had 10,000 players. You know, so there's always a bunch of people around, but you'd get to know people better, and you'd have more of an impact in your world. Even though they have a lot of servers, some of those servers got very packed. You know, I'd be playing Dark Age of Camelot with 25,000 people on the same server, and after a while, there's people everywhere, and you get sick of it. You're like, well, you know, and this is breaking from the game. It's turning into one big chat room where you kind of just walk around from room to room to room, chat with people. Hey, can I join your camp and sit around and kill monsters with you for a few hours? You know, oh, our group's full. I imagine that is 80 people here.
Unfortunately.
You know, and so I would say quantity is a good thing, because not only will you get a lot of variety, well, some people may like the EverQuest. There's people who fucking, they'll, you know, if you say anything bad about EverQuest, they'll jump you and like flip.
Oh, I know. They're rabid fanboys.
Exactly. But yeah, get less people play what they want to play. You know, some people cannot stand player versus player in a game. And rather than have a game like Dark Age Camelot where they have a whole, where they try to have two worlds and they screw up both, you could have a game like Shadowbane that's all player versus player, or you could have another game like EverQuest, which is all player versus environment. You know, they have a player versus player component, but nobody really messes with that.
Let's hope all these games coming out here aren't going to be clones of themselves.
That's what you hope for.
All right, let's move on to the entertainment news section here, just to wrap it up. We've all seen 40 Days and 40 Nights. Wolf and I saw that last night. I don't know if anybody else has heard anything about this, but I think that was a great fucking
movie. It is a great movie.
It was so funny. There wasn't a minute there where I probably wasn't smiling about something.
I couldn't stop laughing.
I think it's better than American Pie.
It probably was better than American Pie in some ways. It was
It brought up an interesting point in the whole movie, you know? And at the same time, it was well done. I liked it.
It really was. This, for those of you who don't know anything about it, This guy who's pretty sure, you know, he gets tired of the whole, like, scene, like the dating scene where you meet the girl, you have sex, and then he doesn't care anymore. Well, he starts tripping out on it, right? He breaks up with his girlfriend who he really was into. He's sleeping with these girls, and then he panics. Like, for some reason, there's something upstairs telling him that there's something wrong, you know, that this is not, you know, right. So he takes a vow, you know, for, what is it, for Lent?
Yeah. That was the Catholic tradition thing.
Yeah, okay. So for 40 days and 40 nights, no sexual contact of any kind. Like, I mean, the guy probably stays away from chicks altogether, like, you know. And it was really funny how they did it. They had some really cool actors in there, too. I loved his roommate, that guy from, he's the stoner guy from Road Trip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's hilarious. I love watching that guy.
That's like they're all betting on it. So his buddy put up a website.
Oh, his buddy's screwing around.
Yeah,
there.
The vow. You know, I mean, it got blown out of proportion. Like, the whole world found out this guy had taken, you know, this vow of chastity for 40 days. I mean, it was just really good seeing how he kind of loses his mind, you know, because he hasn't had a chance to clean the pipes in a while. It was a well-done movie, but unfortunately, you know, of course, it ties it up with the nice love story at the end and everything. You know, I'd like to see something cool happen or something different for once. But that doesn't sell.
It worked, though. I mean, the most...
Oh, yeah, it worked.
It's original.
Yeah, it was a good idea, but, I mean, you know, it's got to tie into just like everything else ever did in the end, you know? Maybe I asked for too much.
Well, you know, I think it's just that people in Hollywood, you know, if you're going to spend $100 million on a movie, well, you know, a lot of these people just don't want to deviate.
Yeah, which I can understand, too, because if I had that kind of investment... I'd want to make it back and then some.
Yeah, and if you're doing something experimental, it's like, oh, wait a second, whose money are you experimenting with?
Yeah, and a lot of time they end up with, like, the cult movie, you know, like the cult classic type stuff, like, you know, Army of Darkness or whatever.
Fight Club.
You know, people aren't too, you know, they don't make a whole ass load of money on it, and they're kind of pissed off that they have, like, this great following. Boondock Saints is a good example, you know?
Yeah.
And we just got to see 8 Mile. It came out, I think, today on DVD, right?
Yeah, today, first pick on the
road. Yeah, it just came out today. Wolf here picked that up for, like, $15 at Best Buy.
Something like that.
And we just watched it. It was pretty well done, that's for sure. You know, I mean, it didn't seem cheesy, and it didn't seem low quality. But I would like to see more music in it. I mean, you know, it was a pretty good story. But you know, it's like, man, you want to see these guys just bust out and lay down some nice beats. When they, I mean, the only thing you really get into is like they do this battle thing, right? Where Eminem's character Rabbit, he goes to these like an underground club kind of thing, and they have rap battles where they tear on each other. And it's like you get 45 seconds to just tear down the other rapper, and then the other guy gets 45 seconds to you know, bash on you, and the crowd votes on who stays and who goes. And the story, you know, is about how, you know, his struggle and how shitty his life is, and, you know, all he wants to be is, like, a, you know, a big-name rapper. And it's talking, you know, it's about him and his buddies and their life and, you know, the things, the shit that happens to him in the day and how they, you know, get screwed and screw each other over. You know, a bunch of crazy shit happens. And they're just trying to get, like, you know, a record deal, you know, to get out of the ghetto, you know. And it's like, you know, some of them, they got some good hearts. I mean, you know, the characters are really good.
They got a dream, they're trying to.
Yeah, they got a dream. You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really cool. You know, I think both of these movies are solid rentals, you know. And 8 Mile, for some people, might be kind of inspirational to, you know, and you like watching it more than once, you know. So, you know, you might want to pick that up. You know, definitely rent these and check them out.
And I hope I don't sound like EW here, but supposedly Brittany Murphy is now dating Eminem. Yeah, we got a gossip thing going on. And guess who has got implants?
That's right. Stop caring about Hollywood. All right.
Care less.
I know. All right, I think that's it for us for this week.
Yeah, have a good one, everyone.
Teaching our children to go chase money. My little Sam's is playing this new video game called Pogo the Monkey.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Oh yeah, MC Hawking and DJ Zoom, they kicking it with the hardcore beat. So get you out your seat. We be laying this down for PC Gamer in 2002. Yo, check this out. GTA Breeze like The Sims to me. A real life simulator cause that's where I be. On the street packing heat, carjacking, head cracking, taking tickets from the pockets of the bourgeoisie. In Liberty City, it's easy to score. No one in this city locks their car door. So I jack every cheetah that I happen to see. Not looking like a dot, I'm kicking it 3D. Then just to mix it up, I jack an Esperanto. Boozy out the window spraying the spank hose. Police take notice, so I hit the gas and hit the pain spray to get the pigs off my ass. Liberty City, it's my virtual home. You diss the LC, I'll drop a 9 in your dome. I got the PE pumping on the MP3. It's G to the P to the A to the 3. Yo, Doomsday. You ever notice that the old ladies in this town never hesitate to blow about? You knock one of them bitches over and they'll be coming right back at you. They is some hardcore grandmob. Sometimes I sit in my car and just listen to Lambo, rock the chatterbox with the serious flow. Then I got to getting while the getting's still good. So I take a quick spin to 8 balls in Carwood. Car don't make it on account of mafiosos. Hood in flames, I'm puffing past the popo. Sure it's slow, still it appeals to Hawking. LC be the only place where I be walking. Taxi cab missions, got old fast. If I want crazy taxi, I'll dust off my Dreamcast. I'm about crying all the mother loving time. Only pausing for my mayhem to bust a rhyme. Driving scary like a crazed Halle Berry. Got a job to do and no time to tarry. I got the PE pumping on the MP3. It's G to the P to the A to the 3. Oh yeah, that's right. Grand Theft Auto 3. It's about time somebody made a video game out of my life. Yo, Doom, take us out of here. Because the people here for the community.
29.